It's a beautiful day in Tampa Bay for a terrific Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019. The only 1-22-2-0-19 in the history of humanity. Let us continue to choose on purpose, with a purpose, to give a great day. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online.
And Owen Pratt.
Welcome in to the second broadcast of the, I know it's like Glenn Klein Online 7.0, I think, or something like that. But we had a great time with Bill Gewirtz, the Chicago comedian.
Really funny guy.
And I wonder how his weekend gigs went on after he was promoted on this quality podcast.
Just sent us a little clip of some stand-up he was doing. He's got
game.
He's got some game, all right.
Former camper of ours. And yeah, it was really enjoyable. The podcast that we're doing is a long form podcast. It gives us an opportunity to talk to the beautiful humans about anything. It's any topic goes, as opposed to the Sex and the Religion show that we're doing called Sex in the Pews. So this is just a great opportunity because we have other things. I mean, Owen is not just into sex and religion. You're not into religion at all.
Anti-religious.
But you used to be.
And used to be.
Did you ever see Bill Maher's movie against religion?
No,
it was called Religious.
Oh, yeah, I heard of that.
It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty good. Bill Maher is, he has really been on the cutting edge in so many ways in society. Of course, he's a big guy on the environmental movement. He thinks that, you know, I saw this last weekend. He said that Guatemala would be underwater in 20 years. He was kind of joking, I think, a little bit. But and he's been an avowed atheist for decades. And slowly but surely, we're seeing more people identify themselves as atheists. There's a study that just came out that we shared on social media that a significant drop in church attendance for 18 to 20-year-olds. I would love to go on the Bill Maher show. The problem with the Bill Maher show, as funny as he is and as smart as he is, most of the time it's just an amen corner. Most of the time, he'll have Republicans on who hate Trump, Donald J. Trump, and it's boring. I want to hear some people. He's having Ann Coulter on next week. That should be, and they're friends. Mm. That should be interesting. But I'm a libertarian. I got a cough, so just clear my button for. Still fighting off this damn cold. It's getting better, but doing a lot of talking today. I do a lot of talking. Have you noticed this?
No.
The average man speaks 10,000 words. The average woman, 25,000 words a day.
Glenn's probably around 17,000.
I don't know about that, but I'm definitely over average in more ways than one, if you know what I'm saying.
Ladies.
My kids, when I was in Wisconsin doing the radio gig up there, I had to get the Wisconsin license plate. And so they bought me for my birthday a vanity plate, and it just says talker when I was on the talk station. Can you believe that was amazing? That talker was available. And in Florida, beautiful humans, you don't need both license plates. So Wisconsin, you do. You need a front and a back tag. In Florida, you just need a back tag because we're cooler here in Florida. We're warmer and cooler in Florida. So I actually have my talker. You may have seen it from time to time. Mm-hmm. It's on the front of the Road Warrior. The Road Warrior has 222,000 miles on it now. Back and forth to the Dairyland, the North Woods, many, many times. But I would love to be on the Bill Maher show and bring it from a libertarian perspective, because he used to be more libertarian. And then he just went whole hogged Democrat and liberal. He's very liberal, socialist. And people don't challenge him much on that show. And it's hard. It's hard to challenge somebody when they're so famous and so popular. But I would just like to ask him, because he's on, you know, he's a big guy about the environmental footprint, the people living, what do they call the footprint?
Carbon footprint.
Carbon footprint. But then he always announces that he can't do the YouTube show afterwards because he's going right to Las Vegas to do a show that night. Hmm. Now, how do you think he gets to Las Vegas?
Private jet, baby.
Yeah. Isn't that hypocritical? I would love to. No, I never heard anybody challenge him on that. And I agree with him on so many issues. And I have some strong disagreements on economic issues. But most importantly, I disagree with the resistance approach to Trump. I mean, I would never have voted for Donald Trump. I wouldn't have voted for Hillary either.
What do you mean the resistance approach?
The resistance movement. There's no doubt that the mainstream media, much of the mainstream media, except for Fox News and some newspapers and websites, are part of the resistance movement at this point. Just recently, BuzzFeed came out with this story that Trump had suborned perjury from Michael Cohen, his former attorney. And everybody was talking impeachment right away. None of the media, the other outlets, were able to confirm BuzzFeed's story. You're not supposed to report another story without confirming it. You can mention it, but it was 24/7 to the point where Robert Mueller's investigation, the special counsel that's investigating this whole mess, had to make a statement. It's the first thing they've said during the entire investigation was that story is not true. And it makes Trump's opponents look stupid. And it legitimizes Trump's claim of so-called fake news. To attack the way they have, to attack the Trump supporters, the Democrats have got to start providing actual alternative ideas instead of just being against Trump. This whole shutdown is a joke. He has now proposed, has the president of the United States of America, boy, oh boy, of America, he proposed to compromise over DACA, compromise over other immigration issues in order to build the frickin' wall. And it's only $5 billion is nothing. But it would assuage his supporters. It would be a compromise. And then they could get the partial government shutdown finished. There's 800,000 federal workers that have missed a paycheck. And we know a huge percentage of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. That's not good for the economy, and that's not good for the individuals. This little pissing match between Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump it's like fifth grade shit. It's ridiculous. And I got in trouble. It would be shocking, I know, to hear that. I got in trouble at the radio station, the second radio station I was at in Milwaukee. And here's why. Because when I was hired by the owner of the station, a guy named Mike Crute, I went and interviewed with him right after I got fired from the first station. That was on a Tuesday. On that Wednesday, I contacted a guy named Dominic Silvia, who is also a libertarian-leaning liberal. And I had met Dominic. I had him on the show at the first radio station, and I liked him, and we really kind of built a nice little rapport. And I heard that his partner bought a station in Milwaukee, and indeed it was true. So I go down there, and I meet with Crudy, as we called him. I suppose they still call him that. And I was going to do news. I was going to do engineering and Glenn Klein Online. But I said, Mike, I'm not a liberal. I'm a libertarian. And I said, I'm super liberal on certain issues. I said, I'm more liberal than you. But I said, on other issues, I'm conservative. I am your play-by-play man and color analyst for life. I call it as I see it. So the trouble I got in was I was very critical of Trump on the other radio station as well as the Democrats. The other station liked that I was sort of nonpartisan, if you will. But when I would bring criticisms of the Democrats, the way they were responding to Trump early on in his presidency, as well as Trump, they didn't want to hear criticism of the Democrats. And so after 6 weeks, I get a call from the guy, and by the way, the last show I did was on legalization of marijuana. That's a pretty good liberal stand, isn't it? Which I'm all in favor of. And Wisconsin doesn't even have medical marijuana. And Mike's one of these dudes guys. Hey, dude. And so he said, dude, you're doing a great job and you're a great guy. It's good radio, but it's not working out. I was like, what are you talking about? He said, well, dude, you're just not liberal enough. And I said, Mike, I told you I wasn't a liberal. He goes, yeah, but I want to take the station further left. And it became literally resistance radio, they call it now. And so he fired my ass right there. That was a fun day. I call it like I see it. I don't have any vested interest. I just want to help the beautiful humans. This is why we take the positions that we do in Sex in the Pews a lot of times that are controversial, because what we're doing right now in traditional marriage and in the relationships, generally the dynamic between men and women, generally speaking, ain't working. Well, obviously our politics are not working. Our economy is not working like it should be. And there's some, I mean, we're going to have a recession again. I mean, you can set your clock to it about every 10 years, sometimes sooner, sometimes a little longer. And this time we are $1 trillion in debt and we have a deficit of $20 trillion. Who do we owe that money to?
China.
Only about a trillion of that. Mm. You know, the comedian Dennis Miller, right? Do you know that?
No.
Boy, you are so fucking young. It's ridiculous. Unbelievable. Dennis Miller was on Saturday Night Live. He was on Monday Night Football as a commentator. Very smart dude. He was on the Bill O'Reilly show all the time. He's kind of like a right-leaning libertarian. And he says, like, who do we owe the money to? Don't we owe it to, kind of to ourselves? Let's just not pay it. That seems like what they're doing. Our guest today on Glenn Klein Online knows all about finances. He's knows very astute politically. He's a former Green Bay Packer. He played in the NFL for 5 years. He is a Glenn Klein Online veteran, alumnus. He was in the power rotation then. We hope to get him back in the power rotation now. Please welcome online the very lovely and talented Mr. Daryl Ingram. Daryl!
Very lovely and talented. I don't know if I've ever gone by that moniker before, but I'll take it.
Well, you'll never be able to say that again.
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely. And I have to correct you. There is a medical marijuana law in Wisconsin. And also, the characterization of what the Mueller people came out and said, they said that the
story
was mischaracterized. Right? They did not say it wasn't true. They said it was mischaracterized. So what they're saying is this BuzzFeed article, the fact that they're trying to use emails and other electronic media that seized from the Trump organization, that part of it may not be true. That's what they're saying. They're not saying that the whole thing is not true. So we will find out. But you were right, and you were a student saying that the media kind of jumped all over it and there was impeachment talks and all that. It went further than it should have, but we will see. Would you be surprised if Donald Trump told Cohen to lie to Congress?
I'd be surprised if he didn't tell him to lie.
Exactly. So we're going to see what happens. We're going to see what happens with that. But the story went a little bit too far. And yes, those of us on the left, we want this guy gone yesterday. So today, you know what today is the anniversary of? Today is the 2-year anniversary of his inauguration.
Well, it was 2 days ago, actually.
It's the 20th of January.
Well, no, it's the 22nd of January.
That's right.
Get with the recording program.
Absolutely. It was 2 days ago.
We're recording on Sunday, of course.
Excuse me.
Yes, so it was the inauguration of Donald J. Trump.
Yes. So I put on Facebook 2 years and 2 days ago that we want to say, I told you so, but it's too early because he's just being inaugurated. So we will just say, we'll see. Now, looking back 2 years and 2 days ago, I can gladly say, I freaking told you so. This guy was a criminal, and we knew that he was a criminal, and he was not prepared to take this office. And the 2 years have bared that out, have shown that to be true. So that's what we liberals think about Donald J. Trump president of the United States.
You got to pop your peas when you say Trump.
Trump.
Yeah.
Trump.
That's why I used to do that on WRJN and Racine and Dave Magnum, the guy that owns the station. He kind of drove him crazy, and he goes, "You have to pop your peas every time you say Donald J. Trump." And I said, "No, Dave, I don't do it every time, but I do it most of the time. It's a shtick. It's good radio shtick." And it was like a little dig at the first orange president of the United States of America. But also, America. When Trump, when it was obvious that Trump was going to win, I got a text from Dave, the owner of the station, like at 12:45 in the morning. Now, the guy owns like 30 radio stations around Wisconsin. And think about this for a second. The thing that he was thinking about at that moment was, is Glenn going to continue to pop his peas on Donald J. Trump? And he texts me and he goes, "Now that he's going to be president, is it okay if we just stop popping the peas?" And that's the lunacy of terrestrial radio, and why I'm so thrilled to have the podcast and can say whatever the fuck I want to say, and I do, and Owen does, and if I can just keep him up, it's going to be good. I want to give a more official and formal introduction. Daryl Ingram is the founder and senior director of Liquidity Corporate Development, a boutique investment banking firm. He has bridged the worlds of sports and business in an attempt to bring them together ever since he graduated from the University of California, Berkeley. Go Bears.
Go Bears.
And then he was drafted into the National Football League in 1989, including a stint with the Green Bay Packers. After his five-year NFL career, he founded various businesses and consulted and advised many others in the areas of business development, corporate identity, sales, omni-channel distribution, marketing, recruiting, operations, and more. He has served and worked for private equity groups by assuming leadership positions in portfolio companies. You're a smart motherfucker, apparently.
I do all right.
Mr. Ingram has participated in the incubator and now the accelerator process for startup companies. One of his companies is VideoScore. It is a company that assists high school athletes and their families with making the transition to collegiate sports. He holds an MBA and is currently a 2019 candidate for a Master's of Sports Administration from Northwestern University, Go Wildcats, where he is focusing on revenue generation in athletics. Daryl Ingram was recently offered an adjunct professorship at a small liberal university based in Wisconsin. Currently, he is participating in the launch of a new professional football league.
Wow.
Known as the Freedom Football League. And as one of the founding 50 former NFL athletes, he is in charge of the development of the Ohio franchise and has named the team, you ready for this? The Ohio Players.
Ah.
Did you ever hear of the Ohio Players?
No.
Roller coaster.
Always too young.
Love.
He's too young to remember this.
Yeah, but he's hurt.
I know the Chili song. Peppers cover.
Roller coaster. Do, 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 do.
That is it, Glenn Klein. You are a jam of the Ohio Players. So it just made sense to me. And if you don't get it, because we've had some people that have commented on that. If you don't get it, just like if you don't get Glenn Klein online, if you don't get it, it's not for you. It's just not for you.
Preach it, brother. Preach it.
Absolutely. That's it. So we are speaking to a distinct segment of people in whatever we do. We are always speaking to a distinct set. We're not looking for agreement, right, Glenn? We're looking for people. If you want to agree with us, great. If you don't, that's okay too.
That's what I was saying about Bill Maher. What a talented guy, but it's fucking boring when you don't have people with varying opinions and that can challenge him and the other guests, and everybody in the audience is liberal pretty much. What are you doing, bro? You okay? Daryl?
I'm fine.
It just sounds like you're just did some wind sprints or something.
No. I'm good.
So Daryl and I met at the station in Racine because he was recommended to me by David Mack, my boy David Mack. He said this guy Daryl Ingram would be a really good guest. Daryl at the time was really doing a lot of promotion for VideoScore, and so it came in, and that was the concept that we would just talk about, a little bit about your career and about VideoScore, right?
That was the premise, and I was not prepared to talk politics.
But I reeled you in, buddy.
You told me, you said, "Dude, next time you come back, put your politics hat on. Let's go at it."
Right.
He goes, that's good radio.
Right.
And I didn't know anything about radio. I was, you know, I don't know anything about radio. I was a novice, but I took instruction somewhat well. And then I would come on and we would spar to some degree around politics.
That's right. Because we have a variety of opinions. Not only did Daryl become part of the power rotation of my program, because I want liberals on the station, on my show. I want conservatives. I want everything.
You want that organized chaos, if you will. Well, you want people to disagree. You want varying views of opinions, and it makes the world go round.
Absolutely. That's, I think, viva la difference. Variety is spice of life. I call it organized fun with a purpose. So then what happens when my ass got canned at WRJN, that I got this gig at WRRD or something?
WRRD, now known as Real Resistance Radio. Ooh. Not just Resistance Radio, but Real Resistance Radio. Yep.
And so I started there. So here I brought Daryl up to downtown Milwaukee, and then they fired me and they kept Daryl.
Well, I mean, it wasn't exactly that way. It was a couple of months.
I feel like
I got invited.
I feel like that they traded me for you.
Dude, they got a hell of a deal if they traded you for me, man, because I can't do what you do. And so if it was a straight up trade, whoever they traded to get me, they should have. What? Not just send you, but they should have sent some money, a player to be named later,
yes,
first round draft pick,
yes,
a bucket of chicken wings. I mean, some chips, salsa, the whole deal.
Well, the funny thing is, I got fired. I remember exactly when it was. It was on April 21st. Because here's why I know this: because the night before we did a big event for 420, the national holiday for marijuana, and you know, there was live music and it was quite good. And I knew that there were members of the Real Resistance Radio family that like to partake in produce. And my son Jacob is a legal producer of marijuana in California. So I got some Jay's Nursery product and brought it to the boys, including Crudy.
Party favors, if you will.
Party favors, yes. So the next day, he knew he was going to fire me that night.
But he smoked the favors.
The next day, it was the night I'd done this show on medical marijuana or on marijuana legalization with Melissa Sargent, who was state representative in Madison, who proposed to legalize marijuana. Crude's firing me, and he was like, dude, I really felt bad about taking your kid's weed. I said, yeah, but you took it. Good times.
Yeah. So he's an interesting cat, if you will. Dude.
So medical marijuana is legal now in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
It's happened. They phased it in over time. So at first it was the oils back in 2014, right. But that served a very narrow sort of group of people. And then they slowly phased in. I think they signed a bill. Walker signed a bill in 2017, and it's medical though. I've never smoked marijuana. I don't plan to smoke marijuana. I have nothing against marijuana, but it should be legal. It's ridiculous.
It's absurd
that it's illegal. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it's getting more ridiculous every year that it's not legal. It's just incredible. So, but yeah, there's portions of it. And we all know, I mean, historically, you know, how they attributed marijuana to the use of, you know, black folks and Hispanic folks and marginalized parts of the population, and they attribute it to being of criminality, and there's this whole history that I'm not going to get into.
One thing we know is that they had to pass a constitutional amendment to prohibit alcohol, but there was never a constitutional, and then they had to repeal the amendment.
Right.
They never had a constitutional amendment to make marijuana or cocaine or heroin illegal, and I think it's a huge problem.
Yeah, they just criminalized it. So you're talking about the Volstead Act, which was passed, I believe, in 1919. And then they had to repeal it, I think, 7-8 years later. I don't know. I'm not much of a drinker either. But if you drink and you twist that cap, that's a government seal on that cap that you're breaking. The government is getting tax revenue off that
and
alcohol.
And they should get revenue from legal ganja. No doubt. No question.
Should have happened years ago.
So we're glad it's happening in Wisconsin, my beautiful Northwoods. And that's a lovely thing.
It's more trees coming to Wisconsin.
Exactly right. Daryl is involved in this Freedom League, the Freedom Football League. Is it the FFL?
The FFL, the Freedom Football League.
And there's a marijuana component to this, isn't there?
Well, the marijuana component comes from our head of player. Oh, what would he call himself? What is his title? Anyway, it's Ricky Williams, the famous Heisman-winning running back, who got in quote-unquote trouble because of his marijuana usage. If you ask me, he was ahead of his time. So, Glenn, we have this tremendous opioid epidemic in this country, correct?
Yes, we do. And government's fault, by the way.
And it has led to what other increased usage? What other illicit drug has been increased because of this opioid epidemic?
Fentanyl.
Well, fentanyl is an opioid, but heroin. I'm talking about heroin.
Well, that's...
So people who cannot afford or can't get prescriptions for these opioids that they're addicted to, they turn to street heroin. And one of the things, I'm not a drug user, but one of the things that I see about drugs, it's just nasty to me. It's nasty to be sticking dirty needles in your arm and using this. And so, but these people who are addicted to opioids, they can't afford them, so they turn to that to prolong or carry on this addiction. And if people who were addicted to opioids were allowed to just smoke marijuana, we wouldn't have this epidemic. And so Ricky Williams, playing football is hard, tough, and painful. And a lot of guys were using stuff illicitly because it's against the rules. And we think that that's ridiculous. So in the Freedom Football League, you will be allowed, if the state says it's okay, you can smoke marijuana to relieve pain, and you will not be disbarred from playing. The NFL, and the NFL is a great thing. God bless the NFL. All of us wouldn't be who we are in this league if it wasn't for the NFL. They don't have that rule yet. And I think the new collective bargaining agreement will be signed in 2021, or signed before then, but it'll take effect in 2021. The two things that I think the players will be negotiating for will be legalized marijuana usage for pain relief, because it's just a no-brainer. And then they're going to try to control the commissioner's powers, because he really is judge, jury, and executioner. So there may be some other issues that pop. Oh, another one will pop up will be how do individuals make their First Amendment right choices when it comes to standing or not standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. That will be part of the collective bargaining agreement.
You guys are doing the Pledge of Allegiance instead of the national anthem?
I'm sorry, the national anthem. You are correct. We may do both. And if we do, did you know that there is an African-American version of the national anthem? So we may do that as well.
What is it? What is it?
I don't have it memorized. I don't know what it is.
It's different. Is it the same tune?
No. It's different. It's a different tune. And so you would be hard pressed to find that, but it does exist. The point of it is we're not called the Freedom Football League for no reason. We believe that there should be some freedoms that truly go back 250 years ago, that are in the Bill of Rights, right? They exist there. They've been there. And now we have people who are trying to curtail those just because you work in a certain environment. And so we think that should be free. So there's lots of things that'll be innovative. Another thing, Glenn, I think you would like this, is that fans will have an opportunity through their purchase of season tickets to have equity in the local team.
I'll tell you what I would be interested in. I would be interested in the play-by-play job for the Ohio Players. Roller coaster. Well,
who's to say? We certainly are looking to hire people from marginalized communities. So are you marginalized? I'm not sure if you're.
Yes, I am totally marginalized.
Just because you got fired from two radio stations doesn't mean you're marginalized.
I'm marginalized. I feel very marginalized. Owen's got a question. We're talking with Daryl Ingram. The entrepreneur, the now part of the Ohio Players of the Freedom Football League, former Green Bay Packer, major power player.
All around bon vivant.
Bon vivant of Glenn yes. Klein Online. Here's Owen Pratt.
So I'm here on the website. Looks beautiful. Love the vision for it. And I see on under the Our Movement tab that there is a very pointed section there saying that billionaires are not welcome. And
yes,
my question is that.
Well, they're I'm a marginalized member then because, you know,
because you're not a part of the.
No, because I'm a billionaire. And so like I'm being discriminated. A billionaire in my dreams as
well. Well, that goes into the question. Does that freedom not of the Freedom Football League not apply to billionaires? What's the idea
so,
behind that?
Well, we're the traditional billionaires. OK, so here let me just say it this way. There are 32 NFL teams and they are controlled by 32 billionaire families. 31 of those families are white. The gentleman that owns the. Let's see. I think it's the Jaguar team. I think he's Indian, I believe, from his ethnic origin. We're not going to traditional NFL owners to fund the league, and because we don't want them to control it, we don't want them to turn it into another version of the NFL. So you guys have seen American. It's called the AAF. It's another league that's launching in a couple weeks, actually, right? Wow. They will serve as a developmental or D league for the NFL. And they probably will be successful, but they're going to be an extension of the NFL with some of the same rules and the lack of ownership and all of that. And then the other league that's starting next year, because we plan to kick off 2020, the other league that's starting next year is the XFL. And you guys, Owen, you may not remember, but Glenn, you certainly remember 2000 when, what's his name?
Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon launched that league with NBC. And do you remember how long the league lasted?
Yes, I do, Daryl. It was 1 year.
1 year, because it was a joke. And we think that the next league that they launch will be a joke, because you can't take what my father used to call wrestling. You can't take wrestling and put it to professional football. You can't do that. And that, they're going to try to do that again. It didn't work last time. It's not going to work this time. So we think we have a legitimate opportunity to turn the ownership model of professional sports on its head. So right now I am an owner in this league and I'm an owner of the team to whatever degree, right? Equity degree. There has never been a African-American owner of a football team ever. And so now there are 50 of us that have put this whole league together, including Ricky Williams and Terrell Owens and some other famous NFL players that you guys have heard of. They're all on the website. I am not one of those famous NFL players, but I did play in the NFL, and I have a take and a say and a slant and a how we're going to do some certain things, and I'm involved in the development of the league. And so it's a great thing. And so, yeah, the billionaires are not welcome, and what we mean by that is the traditional people that would fund football leagues, we don't want them taking control, so we're going to try to do, if you will, what Bernie Sanders did, right? Small donations from lots of people. And we will have some people who are, you know, well-heeled in society be involved, but just not the traditional guys. That's what that means, Owen, by the way.
I like that a lot. And I'm with some libertarian tendencies myself. I'm a big fan of this movement towards a more shared economy with things like Uber and Airbnb opening up opportunity. Even the podcast that we're doing, we have our own opportunity to have a radio show and be able to scale it up as big as any other radio that's ever existed. So I'm a fan of giving that opportunity for you know, anybody to be a part of that kind of.
Yeah. Movie. So you buy a season ticket. Imagine, if you will, and this is completely libertarian. Imagine, if you will, the alignment that can occur when a team that's owned in part by its local fans and in part by its players, its athletes, when they align for a common cause. Imagine the possibilities. That does not exist anywhere in sports at this point.
What kind of stadiums are you going to be playing in?
We're going to start off in stadiums. The model says that we need to probably be able to seat somewhere between 30 and 40, right? And we're not necessarily thinking we're going to have that year one, but we're going to grow into that.
All right, listen to me, young man.
Yes, sir.
I have an idea that I have floated with some fairly well-heeled sports people. that could really help fill the stadiums. And I will share with you off the air.
I am
what a teaser.
It's
100% absolutely open to hearing what you have to say.
It is nothing but positivity. It encourages families to bring their kids. And I've got two what I think are really genius ideas. And I've talked to people because, you know, here in Tampa Bay, we have a hard time drawing fans to the Rays crap ballpark, Tropicana Field, which I was at game one ever. And I was there for the World Series. I'm happy to go because I love baseball. And I love the Rays. Cubbies are number one for me, of course. But and then from time to time, the Buccaneers have had a hard time filling Raymond James Stadium. Now, Jeff Vinnick, the new owner of the well, I say the new owner of the Lightning, he's done an amazing job over the last 7 or 8 years. That place is packed out all the time because he knows what he's doing. But a lot of people don't. And it takes a little bit of creativity, a little bit of thinking out of the box. But I've got an idea that not only would guarantee a significant increase in attendance at the Freedom Football League, but also with a following, a fan base following. So we'll talk. But I don't want to give it away, frankly, but I'll tell you probably.
No, of course not.
And if they do it, then I'll tell you beautiful humans about it. But it's a great idea. We are talking with former NFL player Darrell Ingram. He is an entrepreneur extraordinaire. As you may have gathered, he's an African-American, and we just celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. Day yesterday, the 2019 version. That holiday started forming in 1971. And then a guy that they thought was kind of leaning more towards like where Trump gets accused of being racist and small-minded was Ronald Reagan. And he actually was the one that signed the federal holiday for Martin Luther King Jr. And this last summer, Darrell, I was in Atlanta visiting my kids, Hannah and her husband, Angel, and I got to do the Martin Luther King thing. I mean, you always see the Ebenezer Baptist Church, you know, and all the old footage. And I wanted to be there. And it was a real pilgrimage for me and a very moving. Martin Luther King Jr. may have been the last great American.
Yeah. I mean, so I was having a conversation earlier today, actually, with someone that I care very much about. And I wanted to help her understand history a little bit better so that she could have a better understanding of what's going on now. Right. And I said, I simply said, I think about this world. If John F. Kennedy had not been assassinated, if Malcolm X had not been assassinated, if Martin Luther King Jr. had not been assassinated in April of 68, and if Bobby Kennedy had been assassinated in June of 68, think about how much different this world would be if those four men were allowed to live out the course of their natural lives. They were assassinated because there are powers that be that did not want the world to change. LBJ said, you want a war in Southeast Asia? I'll give you a war in Southeast Asia, where JFK was going to pull us out of it. So, yeah, those were great Americans. And I don't think people understand how great these people were. So, Glenn, do you know the name William Kunstler?
I sure know who that was. Yes, he was an attorney, famous defense attorney.
And he defended the Chicago Seven. Yeah. Abby Hoffman and that group. And that was in the late 60s. Well, I got a chance to meet Mr. Kunstler. And I asked him pointed questions, right? And I said, we had talked about a lot of different things. And the two things that stick out was I asked him, did those guys, Martin Luther King Jr. and the Kennedys and Malcolm X, did they know how important they would be to history? And you know what he said? He said, no, Darrell, they just were doing what they thought was right. And that blew me away. They just were doing the right thing. They're doing the right thing. So if all of us can just do what we think is right, that would be fantastic. And the other thing that he said that blew me away is he knew Afeni Shakur. Afeni Shakur is Tupac Shakur's mom. She was a member of the Black Panthers. He knew the Black Panthers. And at some point in time, Glenn, we should talk about the Black Panthers and what that means to our country as well, but that's a whole nother. But let's talk about it in this stake. He said that this young man, Afeni's son, which was Tupac the rapper, he is going to end up dead because he is saying things in his rap music and saying things in society that people aren't willing to listen to and or hear. And as prophetic as that was, he ended up being killed for whatever reason. So just interesting to be able to dissect history with my own experiences in life with talking to this man who knew all of these people is very interesting. So yes, he may have been one of the last great Americans. I can't think of anybody that even comes close. And I would do, for my political leaning standpoint, of course, I would pick President Obama.
Right. Well, you can't argue the historical nature of Obama's election. I voted for him the first time. I actually took him at his word that we were not red states. We were not blue states. We were the United States of America. He always does of America. Hold on.
Go ahead.
I'm going to make my point here. But he was a Chicago politician, and just like he would just lie and just, you know, nice guy, cut a good jib, beautiful family, pretty articulate, certainly give a great speech. He could actually put a sentence together with proper syntax as opposed to our current resident of the White House, not even comparable. But I think Obama was an awful president. And I know we disagree on that. His major historical figure, there's no doubt about it. I never thought I would live to see an African-American president, ever. I was very excited about that, hugely disappointed in the results. And I make the case, Daryl, that Obama's performance in office led to Trump, and the Republicans' performance and the mainstream Republicans led to Trump. And
well, but that's true with any election to election. I mean,
yeah, but that's to the extreme.
Jimmy Carter led to Reagan. There's no question.
Yeah, but those guys were within the realm of normality. Trump is completely outside the bounds of anything we've ever seen ever.
But I would say that shows you how racist the country is.
You still think the country that voted for Barack Obama is racist?
We're not post-racial. Of course we're racist. And we probably should define what racism is in a political context. You made the example earlier that people said Ronald Reagan was racist and he's the one that signed Martin Luther King holiday into law.
Right.
That does not discontinue his ability to be racist.
Did I say that?
You were making the point that he was racist.
He wasn't too racist to sign it. You think if George Wallace would have been president, he would have signed that bill?
Glenn. Let me define racism. So I think what you're saying is prejudiced, right? Prejudice is what I think is what you're saying. Racism is about power. That's why people say systematic racism. Racism is about power in a society, and we're going to do certain things and set up certain things so that certain people have power and certain people don't. That's racism. Racism is a political word. It's not prejudiced. Prejudice is a different word. I can prejudge something, right? I can be prejudiced of something, right? But I can't be racist. Why? Because I have no power to take from anybody. That's the difference. And so when I talk about racism, that's what I'm saying. Right. So President Reagan, yes, he can sign the holiday into law, but he's still systematically he's racist. Right. Our society, even though we had a black president, is still racist. And the proof of it is that we have Donald J. Trump as president. The proof of it is we had people who voted against their own self-interest to put this man in office. And now you see these people who are getting their health care taken, who are going to be on the southern side of a wall if it's ever built, who voted for Donald J. Trump, and they're on the other side. They voted against their own self-interest. And Lyndon Johnson, back in the 60s, let me see if I can pull up the quote this president of ours said.
Lyndon Baines.
Lyndon Baines Johnson.
You're talking about a whack job. Oh, my God.
He said, and I'm going to paraphrase because I can't pull up the exact quote. He said that, if you can convince the lowest white man that he is better than the highest black man, you don't have to pick his pocket. Hell, he'll give it to you if you give him someone to look down upon. And that is our society. Under Obama, we were the USA, United States of Aspirational. under Trump, we are the USA, United States of America. And that's who we are. We were aspiring to be beyond that with Obama. And here we are a cycle later, and we are just that.
Obama, Daryl, Obama fucked up big time. And
Obama had 2 years in office where he can get things through.
He could have
held
the Republicans' feet to the fire, and he chose division. He chose to
try to manage and lead.
I grew up in Chicago. I know a Mayor Daley politician when I see him. I voted for the guy. He was a huge disappointment. And it led to Trump. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible to be a black leader or a black businessman and be a racist?
It's impossible.
It's impossible.
Based on the true, can you be prejudiced? Yes. But based on the true definition of what that word is politically, you can't, because you have no power. You have no societal power.
The president of the United States, Barack Obama, had no political power.
No, he had no societal power. He couldn't change things the way that he wanted to. Because Congress, the way that this country is set up, unfortunately, it's for white males. That's it. That's it. Now, can we thrive and survive and do our thing? Yes, we have to. But, you know.
I don't know. It seems like you're doing pretty good, bro.
Dude, I have struggles like everybody else has.
I'm not saying you don't, but you seem to have you've got all these degrees. You're a businessman. You've got a wonderful family. But that's the point. That's the point of the United States of America is that you can have a country where if you do work your ass off, that you can actually make something of yourself, no matter what skin color you have.
I'm not going to go into my personal situation, Glenn, but it's not the same. It's not the same. I know, put it this way, I know people who don't have the education that I have. Nowhere near. But they happen to be white males, and here you go, let's promote you up this ladder. That's corporate America, let's promote you up this ladder. So yes, I can fight, and I can scratch, and I can survive. But I'm fortunate, because I had two parents at home who did the same thing. And I have a certain level of strength that I've had to develop and that I'm trying to instill in my young son, right? But most people aren't that strong. We know that. And most people don't have the opportunity that my parents gave me. We know that. And yes, the country is still, from a political standpoint, it marginalizes people.
What should the African-American community do about the lack of male involvement like you are with your son? That is a major, major problem in our African-American communities. What can be done?
It's okay. So it's a major problem in every community,
true,
by the way.
True.
In every community. Okay. What can be done with that? Well, probably several things, but I'll tell you, in black culture, our culture has always been matriarchal. It's always been led by our mothers to a certain degree, and our grandmothers. The reasons are numerous. You can go back to slavery times when, you know, mom and dad were sold from each other.
Right.
You can go back to the turn of the century or Reconstruction, and then turn of the century, and then the Depression, where dad had to go on the road to find work. And mom had to stay to raise the kids. So there's all sorts of systemic reasons why that is. But what you're getting at, Glenn, is, and this is not just with African-American fathers, but a lot of fathers are, you know, we've heard the phrase, they're man enough to make a baby, but not man enough to take care of one, right? For 9 zillion reasons. People like to point to black culture, black society for that, but it is no more prevalent in black culture and black society than it is in Hispanic or white culture and society. We just point the finger at it. Another thing we point the finger at is blacks kill more blacks than anybody. What's this Black Lives Movement thing? Well, whites kill more whites than anybody, and Hispanics kill more Hispanics than anybody, because murder is a crime that's based on proximity. And in our country, black people live with black people, and then white people live with white people, and Hispanics live with Hispanics. But they don't go into the whole story of that. Giuliani will just say, you need to fix your community because there's more black people killing black people. And there's more white people killing white people, too. Like, they don't mention that part of it. So from a sociology, socioeconomic standpoint, let's understand all of it, not just these, you know, these talking points that they give these guys to say.
We are talking with Daryl Ingram. This is Glenn Klein Online, Owen Pratt in the official Hitting Home studios of GKO. How optimistic are you, young man?
I am optimistic to a certain degree, but I got to tell you, when I say Obama was the United States of aspirational, you know, Cory Booker is the United States of aspirational.
Oh, my God.
And then we have our guy in the office right now is really, we, you know, that is who we are as a country. If we can put that man in office and still, and we know that he has been compromised by Russia. It has.
Well, all right, let's not get into that right now. But let me ask you a question. Let's just say, for the sake of discussion, that Hillary instead is an awful candidate, of course, an awful person.
We disagree, but go ahead.
She, instead of nominating Tim Kaine to be her vice presidential running mate, which was, you talk about milquetoast, she takes Bernie Sanders on, and because that all the energy, 20% of Bernie Sanders voters voted for Donald Trump. One out of five.
I don't understand.
I have a theory behind it, but then you get a Clinton Sanders administration. Donald Trump ceases to be an issue. If the Democrats don't win in 2020, there is something seriously wrong with that party. There are really good young candidates. Sharp, the guy who's the Gavin Newsom, the new governor of California. Sharp dude. You, I'm sure you like his policies.
Love him.
Tabby Gifford from Hawaii.
Kamala Harris.
Sharp young woman. There's going to be somebody who's got. They're not going to have the charisma of Obama. An Obama and a Reagan. Those guys come along
once in a lifetime.
Right.
Once in a lifetime.
All you've got to do is appeal to the white middle class and peel back 70,000-80,000 votes, and we get rid of Trump. We don't have to worry about Russian collusion. We don't have to worry about impeachment.
Here's the thing: when people are apathetic. And when they're apathetic, they will latch on to any soundbite. And
they weren't that way for Bernie Sanders. They weren't that way for Obama. Hillary, because she didn't.
Those people didn't necessarily participate. So your theory about the 20% going from our guy in Vermont to Trump is
He wasn't my guy. He was your guy, but he wasn't my guy. Other than we're the same tribe.
Your theory is authoritarianism. You've said that before, I tend to agree with you.
Let me fill in the lines a little bit, because the authority, there's about 37% of the populace are authoritarian, whether they're on the left or the right. They're looking for strong leadership. They don't want individual responsibility so much. They want to be taken care of. On the left, it's the state. It's the government. On the right, it was Trump.
It's an individual, yeah.
Right. Yeah. It happened to be Donald J. Trump.
And in other parts of history, it happened to be Adolf Hitler, but that's a whole other story.
That's what you guys do. That's the stupidest thing that liberals can do.
Stupid.
It's fucking idiotic.
If you know your history, Glenn.
If I know my history, I had family over there. What are you talking about?
I know that. So you don't think there's anything that you can align what happened in pre-war Germany that happened last election round here?
Absolutely not. There, boom.
Goodness.
Yeah, but I have to answer back this way. It is absurd. Did you see when Trump pulled Pelosi's plane the other day and this ridiculous kindergarten tit for tat bullshit? The Republicans criticized Trump. There is absolutely no comparison. It was post World War I Germany that led to Hitler. We have nothing like that. Not even close.
So you cannot draw an alignment of authoritarianism with that man and what happened in this country.
Yes, I just said he's an authoritarian.
So that's all. That's what I'm saying.
But not Hitler. Fucking Hitler. Jesus.
I'm not saying that he is Hitler. I'm saying that some of the same things that happened in pre-World War II Germany.
The left has the left has continually compared him to Hitler. I've got a good Facebook friend. They called him Orange Hitler right from the get-go. And I was like, you're losing me. And I don't like him. I think he's, I mean, it's I can't even imagine how anybody could, I understand. I appreciated the, I'm all excited though. I appreciated the fact that he moved our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. I thought that was important. There are, I believe in lower taxes, I lower regulation, but as far as his persona and the there's being president isn't just signing bills and getting things done. It's about representing the country. Obama did that pretty well, actually. Reagan did that really well. George H.W. Bush did that pretty well. Even George W. Bush was eons ahead of this guy. My point is when the left makes it worse, it's bad enough what he actually is. You don't have to make it worse and say, listen, we're going to find out what Mueller has. But the bottom line is people knew what Trump was and they still voted for him, not because they were so excited about him, but because Hillary was such an awful alternative.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I think that Trump did some things, you know, coming out first and saying Mexicans are rapists.
And he didn't. He didn't say that.
What did he say?
He said that they're sending us rapists and murderers and stuff like that. He didn't say all Mexicans are rapists. That's my point.
Nobody said he said all Mexicans, because he also said, I guess some of them are good people too.
Right. He's a knucklehead, dude.
Let me just tell you this. If you fucking equivocate a race with that type of behavior, that is fucking racism, pure and simple.
Totally
agree. You don't say that.
Anybody that would have that voted for that guy either was okay with that kind of language or were so disgusted with the Republican mainstream and the Democrats that they would I know very good friends of mine voted for Trump. I'm like, what the fuck are you thinking? But it was economics. They were disgusted with the
that's fucking bullshit.
Well, I'm just telling you.
That's bullshit. If you here's the thing, Glenn, and you explain this to me. If you think the president's job is so easy that you can put this failed businessman in the position to run the fucking country, what is your problem? Do you not understand who we are as a people? Do you not understand our country? Do you not understand our history? Do you get what we need to do in this world as the leader of this world that you can put this son of a bitch in office? You don't get that if you voted for him.
I think
he unbelievable.
I think he should have been disqualified just because of the
bond. He should be in prison.
I think
he should be in prison.
You got to let me finish the joke, bro. I think he should be disqualified just because he's using bad bronzer. I mean, that is a bad look, bro. And although I have to give him the one thing I have to say is give him credit for his watch. Big O. Melania. Yeah, come on. Oh my God. Melania. Come on. We had to look at Hillary and Bill for four. Plus, it's been great for the media. I mean, you know, everybody's ratings are off.
I'm sorry. I kind of like the stature of the first lady being somebody who has not posed in nude in a magazine.
Oh, now who's being racist?
That's not racism. That's not racism. Those are values and morals. That's not race. That's nothing to do with her race or my race.
I like a woman who's been a stripper well, I don't know if she was a stripper, but she was a model. She posed naked.
Yeah,
She's classy. She's a classy woman.
So she's not fucking classy. She may be beautiful, but she's not classy.
I bet she's classy fucking though. That's
be best. What is be best? What the fuck is that?
What?
Her whole thing about be best.
I'm not defending anything except she's the most gorgeous woman on the planet. Tied.
She's not the most gorgeous. She's
tied.
Pretty.
Tied.
She's pretty.
There is such a thing as a first place tie.
All right. Well,
should the NFL abolish ties?
Yes.
God damn it. I got a great idea. I have a lot of great ideas, Daryl.
Bring back sudden death the way that it was supposed to be.
Just let both teams have the ball one time, regardless. That's all you have to do. And then just play it off. Play till you're done.
Well, they call that a California tiebreaker. They get the ball at the 20.
Yeah, then you do that. Then you do that. Why is it called a California tiebreaker?
That's just what it was called. I don't know where that reason came from.
Well, because
great things happen in California.
And a great thing happened in California. That's where Daryl Ingram is from. Went to the University of California, Berkeley. My dad's good friend Marv Levy was the head coach of Cal.
Marv Levy was a great coach at Cal. And he was a very... Do you remember him screaming? There's a great NFL reel of him screaming at a referee. You over-officious jerk.
Yeah.
Loved Marv Levy. Love it.
He's great. And he's still alive and healthy, and he's in his 90s. We'll have him on the program again. He predicted 2 years ago that the Carolina Panthers would be defeated in an upset. Or was it 3 years ago, I guess, now?
He was right.
This is what Marv said.
Who coaches the Carolina Panthers? You know the name of the coach there?
Ron Rivera.
Where did he go to school?
Cal.
University of California at Berkeley.
Do you know the Cal Berkeley fight song?
Of course.
Sing it, please.
No, I'm not going to sing the song. I am not a rookie, and this is not an NFL camp.
Just sing a couple lines. That's all. What's the first line? You don't have to sing it. You don't deserve to know it.
You don't know it.
You don't
Hail
know
to
the universe.
Hail to California is the name of the song. I know it. Trust me. I know the song. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, we're going to move on. We're done.
Yep.
It was amazing. Now Owen knows why I wanted you on the program so badly, and we'll do this many, many times. Too much fun, and he gets all fired up. It's so great. I love it. So I will give me a call during the course of the week, and I will give you the $1 million idea for the Freedom Football League.
Okay, I will. I'll call you in the next couple of days.
All right. He's the great Daryl Ingram, former Green Bay Packer NFL player, one of the founders of the Freedom Football League, and quite the entrepreneur. And I mean, he's got it down. He is dyed in the wool, left wing, progressive, Democrat. I mean, he was even going to start to defend Hillary, for Christ's sake. I mean, that's insane.
I'm still speechless about all that.
That's fun, wasn't it?
It was fun.
Yeah. He's a good guy. Really good guy. I gave him a certain radio. I was like, dude, you could do this. Why don't you want to talk about politics? In the meantime, he's blasting the Republicans and stuff on Facebook. I said, what's the difference if you're on Facebook or the radio? Mm. Great voice. Mm-hmm. Big guy.
I imagine.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to mess with Daryl Ingram.
I could take him.
Maybe in a race, maybe. Well, thank you, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. We will do it next time with another very interesting, beautiful human. And Owen, thank you for producing and engineering and staying awake this time.
That's what I'm here for.
This is a very good thing. You can contact me at coach@glennklineonline.com. Check out the website at glennklineonline.com. Don't forget about Sex in the Pews. The website there is sexinthepews.com. It's not for the faint of heart, that show, but it's fun and it's interesting and it's...
We behaved ourselves the last time around. We stayed pretty.
I don't think most people would think that. But as Daryl said, it ain't for everybody.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Thanks so much for listening, you guys. We love you. And until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying
Shalom, everybody.